Lord, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we just want to come together and just worship you in spirit and truth, dear God. Lord, let us have ears to hear what you have to say and hearts to receive. Lord, we are a broken people, but you are the healer. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. We stand and lift our hands, we stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we say, everyone sing, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yes, it is. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. It's the rising up and it's all around. It's the end of mouth, the Lord's renown. It's the rising up. Oh, it's all around. It's the end of mouth, the Lord's renown. Together we say, everyone sing. Together we say, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
Turn and greet each other with handshakes and hugs and all that. So take a few seconds.
Trials, the famine and darkness and soul.
sun. At trumpet call and lift your voice. Cheer a jubilee. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel. The dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest. The fields are wide in the world. And we are your laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At trumpet call and lift your voice. Cheer a jubilee. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At trumpet call and lift your voice. Cheer a jubilee. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Our true help. Salvation comes from the Lord. Amen. Within your wings, let me hide myself. Within your wings, there is shelter, comfort, and strength. When the walls life come crashing in, I will rest within your wings. Unfailing love, hold on to me. Unfailing love, to you I cling. With my last I'll even sing. I will rest within your wings. Within your wings, let me hide myself. Within your wings, there is shelter, comfort, and strength. When will rest within your wings. Unfailing love, hold on to me. Unfailing love, to you I cling. With my last breath I'll even I will rest.
unfailing love to you I cling with my last breath I'll even sing. I will rest within your knees. I will rest.
Voice.
Holy, holy, holy.
I long for you. I long for your embrace. I yearn for you. I yearn to see your face and to feel your touch, to feel your holiness. It's what my heart longs for. It's what my heart yearns for. I long for you. I long for your embrace. I yearn for you. I yearn to see your face and to feel your touch, to feel your holiness. It's what my heart longs for. It's what my heart yearns for. Breathe life in me. Erase my sin's decay. Please help me. Desperately I say, I need you. I need you. You're the answer to my prayer. I need you. I need you. Face and to feel your touch, to feel your holiness. It's what my heart longs for. It's what my heart yearns for. It's what my heart longs for. It's what my heart yearns for. I long for you. I long for you. I long for you.
Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek you more and more every day. Lord, indeed, we must become less and you must become more within us. Help us, Lord, to accomplish that goal in our lives, in our walk with you. Lord, that people would naturally see you in us because you're that much a part of our lives. Lord, help us to shine brighter than we ever have before. Help us to be the lamp, the salt that we're supposed to be in this world, Lord. Help us. Help us to speak the truth, to preach your kingdom, to share your word, to love others, Lord. Help us to do that as you have directed us to do. Help us to be the children you have called us to be. Okay, so where are we in our faith? What is it we believe? What do we trust in? Are we concerned about the world around us? Do we see the failures of society? Do we see the failures of the church? Is there anything within us that drives us closer and closer and closer to God? Or is our walk with Christ, our salvation, honestly, just a title? Just a habitual or religious way of life? You know, saying you're religious doesn't really say much. Religion is just that you do something repetitively. So is it just a religion for us? Do we just show up at church or tune in to the service because it's the right thing to do? It's what I've been taught. It's what I know happens on a Sunday morning. I've known people over the years that have absolutely no idea why they believe what they believe. Nor have they any idea why they do the churchy things that they do. Some people talk about being a good person or doing things that are good, but that is so incredibly vague. What do we measure that good against? Who holds up the standard of good and bad? How do we know if we've succeeded in being good or not? How is it that a church, any church, can proclaim things contrary to the Word of God? How is it that the people of that church can stand by and say, amen? You know what amen means? It means I agree. It means yes, you're right. It means okay. So if a church is proclaiming things that are contrary to the Word and the people of that church are standing by saying, amen, 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 they're agreeing what's being preached contrary to the Word. How does anyone accept falsehood as being biblically accurate or acceptable? When someone questions our faith, what do we say to them? How do we respond to them? Do we even let others know that we're Christians, that we're believers, that we love the Lord? Or are we desperately afraid that they're going to start asking us hard questions? Or maybe any questions for that matter. Are we afraid of what they're going to say? That they might start looking to us for some sort of answers. Answers that we may not have. Answers that we may be ashamed that we already don't know or don't have. And honestly, answers that we really have no desire to go figure out or look for. Most of the time we don't have those answers because we don't know what Scripture says. We don't know what's in the Word of God or not in the Word of God. There's a lot of things that people claim are in the Bible that aren't. There are a lot of things that are in the Bible that people had no idea that was where it came from or what the root of it is. My son, like so many others, just wrapped up all of his final exams for the school year. Final exams that check and see how well he learned the material that the teacher had been teaching for the last semester. What if we had to take a final exam today? What if we had to take a biblical exam today? How well would we do? How well do you think you would be prepared for that exam? And it is an exam. We can't say pop quiz, because all along as a Christian you've been told you're going to be held accountable one day. So it's not a pop quiz. It's an exam. How well would you do on that exam? today? What if right now? What if today? We had a test over the last 13 weeks of church, the last semester of church. What kind of grade would you expect to get on that exam? And would that grade be acceptable to you? You know, we challenge our kids all the time. We even create incentives for our kids. I'll give you $5 for every A that you earn this semester. You get on the honor roll and we'll take you to wherever their favorite destination is. We create this incentive. There are rules that have to be followed. You cannot play sports or do other certain activities if your grades are not at a certain level. So we set up these parameters. And we have expectations of our kids to meet those parameters, don't we? So if we expect our kids to pay attention, if we expect our kids to study, if we expect our kids to do well on their exams, why isn't it we don't have to model that same behavior? Why is it that studying the most important text ever written is optional for us? Why? Why is that? Think about it. Let that sink in for a minute. We spend tens of thousands of dollars on higher education for our kids, and we expect them to do well and succeed. But we don't model the same thing when it comes to the most important text ever written. A few weeks back, we talked about the flood. We talked about all these different cultures that have some flood story. All of that comes from Scripture. That's where they get it from. They have their own version. They make up their own ideas. They call it their own people or their own things. But there is a ton of stuff in our everyday lives that comes from Scripture. You know, pretty much any religion that's out there today in some way has its root in Scripture. There is some portion of Scripture that has brought about this other vein or religion. They broke apart from somebody on some conflict and they became their own people. Much of our country, much of our nation is founded on Scripture, on what the Bible says and things that are written in Scripture. Science. Oh, so many people would disagree with this. So many people say that the two of them are so contradictory, they don't line up, but that's false. Science is in Scripture. It's there. Job 26, verse 7 and 8. He spreads out the northern skies over the empty space. He suspends the earth over nothing. He wraps up the waters in his clouds, yet the clouds do not burst under their weight. Not one text alone, you can get the idea of gravity, rainfall, evaporation, just from that little text right there. Others would argue that science will break everything down into five things. They'll break it down into time, space, matter, power, and motion. Five different things. Did you catch that? Time, space, matter, power, and motion. That's what they'll argue. And to that, I would say they're absolutely right. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Do you see in there time, power, space, matter, motion? The very first thing in the Word of God that God tells us is that He controls all aspects of the universe. And here are five things you can find when it comes to all of creation. He tells us that in the first two verses. These are just a handful of things that you can find in Scripture regarding the scientific world that man claims to be discovering. over the last several hundred years. I love how man takes credit for something God has already given him. Let's back up a little bit. Did we know that any of that was even in Scripture? Why did we know it was there? Why didn't we know it was there? These are all questions to make us think this morning. We talked about taking a test. We talked about taking a final exam. What if each of us had to write an essay on Scripture today? Any subject, any book within the Bible, what if we just had to write a compelling, relevant summary around some set of Scriptures today? Let's say 1,500 words-ish. And that's really not that much. That's 4, maybe 5 pages. That's really not a whole lot of text, quite honestly. Could we do it? Could we write that essay? And would it be that compelling, relevant essay that we need to write? Why not? Why or why not? Could we? Could we not? Are we not called, folks, to be the light of the world? Let me remind you, Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. If we are the light, if we're supposed to be the light, how in the world can we spread that light if we don't know what the light is? If we don't know how the light functions? If we don't know what the light looks like? How can we be the light that we're not exposed to? The average Christian in America has lost his voice. The average Christian in America has lost his ability to defend Christianity. Lost his ability to stand up for biblical truth. Dare I even ask? This is personal. This isn't corporate. This is personal stuff this morning. Dare I even ask, why do we come to church on Sunday morning? Why do we attend any kind of Sunday school, Wednesday night, Bible study, biblical class whatsoever? Is it because we want to learn? Is it because we want to grow? Is it because that's just what we're supposed to do? Mom and Dad took me every Sunday morning, and so that's what I know Sunday morning to be. I've developed this habit. I get up, I go Sunday, then I go about my day. Why do we come to church on Sunday morning? Is it to hear the Word of God? Is it to take it home and study that text like He commended the Bereans for doing? Is that why we dig into the Word of God? Or is it just to put in our time and say, hey, look at me. I did a good job. I showed up this week. How many of us can even recall the message from 2 weeks ago, or even the topic of the message from 2 weeks ago? How many of us prepare for Sunday morning service? Do we just mosey into church thinking that God's going to do something cool in front of all of us and just blow us away? He could. Don't misunderstand me. He could. But is that our mindset? Or do we get up Sunday morning and prepare ourselves to be in the presence of God? Do we get up and read and pray and sing before we ever even get here? Being ready to receive what the Holy Spirit has to show us. To be ready to hear from the Word of God. to enter into that throne room, to sing those praises, to lift up his name. You know, it'd be like going to your college class without ever reading the material or studying the notes or looking at what's been given to you and just expecting to know it. How many of us would have ever done that? Maybe some of us, but that would not have been the way to do things. Can I let you in on a little secret this morning? This might shock some of you. Honestly, truly, this might shock some of you. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. From up here, you can see everything. I can see. We can see everything from up here. We can see who's playing on their phone. And I know when you're playing or texting, because you're going a mile a minute, you're not looking up scripture. You're not reading along. We can see who's playing on their phone. We can see who's more concerned about chatting with their neighbor or filling in the plans for later this afternoon. Hey, yeah, don't forget to bring the chips. We can see who's passing notes back and forth. Well, I don't want Pastor to hear me, so here's a note. We can see all of that, and we can even see who chooses to use Sunday morning as nap time. And you'd be surprised how many people that is. I'm not lying. Sunday morning service has become nap time for some people. If we're coming to the church social club, we're doing a great job. But if we're expecting God to move and work and transform lives, how well do you think we're doing? Where is our grade on that? In fact, I'm sure some of us have already even tuned out this message this morning. Oh, that doesn't apply to me. I don't need to listen to that. This is boring. Nap time. Let me remind you of a couple of scriptures this morning. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Matthew 24:12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. That to me is a petrifying scripture. When we tune God out, when we tune out His warnings, when we tune out our time with Him, when we reduce it to nothing but an event that takes place every week in our lives, then we risk becoming that arrogant individual who thinks we're better off than we are. We risk becoming that individual who loses love and grows cold. I want to read more of that text to you this morning. Matthew 24. We're going to read a few more verses, 9 through 13 this morning, and then we're going to break it apart just a little bit. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. So I'm going to break this down just a little bit this morning. I'm not going to dig real deep, but I want to break this scripture down just a tiny bit. Verse 9 says, you will be hated by all nations because of Christ. I hope we understand persecution comes in all shapes and sizes. It's not just about physical torture. We read a fair amount of that in Scripture. We read about people being stoned. We know the historical accuracy of the disciples all being martyred for some or in some way, shape, or form, except John. We relate this idea of persecution to physical torture, but there's far more to persecution than just that. In fact, I'm wondering if some of you might see the same thing that I see today. Today, in our nation, in our world, in America, it is okay to talk about or celebrate any religion in America except Christianity. You wanna jump up and be a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a whatever. It doesn't matter. That's all great and wonderful. But whoa, don't talk to me about Jesus. Don't talk to me about this born again stuff. I mean, you want to talk to folks about cancel culture? Christianity is being canceled out. People are driving this whole idea of getting rid of Christianity and everything that it stands for. It's happening in some ways very subtly, and in other ways not very subtly. But it's happening a little bit more every single day. We get to verse 10 in Matthew 24. First of all, I believe with all my heart we are closer and closer and closer to the end times than we ever have been before. Every day, we step a little bit closer to that end of time that Scripture talks about, to Christ's return, to the rapture, to all of that. No, I don't have a day and time. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you we are getting closer, and this world is getting worse, and things are pointing more and more towards that final day, or the end of the world as we know it. Verse 10 says that in those days, Christians will turn on each other. That's what that verse says. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. You can't turn away from the faith if you're not part of the faith. Make sense? Pretty straightforward. In those days, Christians will hate and betray other Christians. Do you know that's already happening? Do you know that's already a reality today? We don't like to think about it. We don't like to point fingers at things. We don't like to see. What we do like to do is take something and say, oh, that's all innocent. Oh, that's just that. Oh, that. We like to water it down. We like to make it more generic. We don't like to see it for what it is. But I'm going to say something here this morning, and you're either going to agree or you're going to get really mad at me and you're going to leave. But I'm going to say it as clearly as I can possibly say it. Those that have caused division through all of this COVID crap are part of the ones that are betraying and hating their brothers and sisters in Christ. It's just that simple. I don't care if it's about the vaccine. I don't care if it's about a mask. I don't care if it's about what political party you think is right or not right. If you're causing division, if you're causing these problems, you are causing hate and betrayal among your brothers and sisters in Christ. It is just that simple, folks. Otherwise, you would deal with your opinion yourself. I didn't want to wear a mask during COVID. I hated the mask. It had no desire to put that thing on my face. But I did it because it was the right thing to do. I did it because it was a help to others. I set my own personal preferences aside and said, I want to take care of my family. So if we're doing those things, if we're causing those conflicts, we're falling right into the enemy's hands. If we truly loved each other, we would learn to work through our opinions with God and not take it out on our church family. Paul wrote to the Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ God forgave you. Is that what we're doing if we're causing fights and quarrels and problems? Are we fulfilling Scripture in a good way or a bad way? We're fulfilling Scripture, but in a good way or a bad way. Back to Matthew 24, verse 11, talks about false prophets deceiving many people. I don't think I need to say this, but I'm going to say it. There are hundreds of pastors in this nation teaching people that sin is okay. Now, they're not going to come out and say that. They're not going to say, oh, brother, it's okay if you sin. But by teaching what they teach, they are telling people that sin is okay. They are proclaiming from the pulpits that lifestyles, ideas, attitudes, greed, so on and so forth, all those things are acceptable in the eyes of God. That is not what the text says. It is not. People can take Scripture, twist it, distort it, move it, rearrange it, and make it say anything it wants to say. But if you take Scripture and rightly divide it with other Scripture, and you follow that text in its intention, what they're teaching, what they're preaching, what they're saying is okay, is flat out wrong. They are teaching falsehoods. They are spreading lies. I can't say it any clearer than that. Verse 12, Matthew 24 tells us that when all this stuff happens, wickedness is going to be on the rise. Imagine that. Imagine what's going on in our nation today. When all this stuff happens, wickedness will be on the rise, and the love of most will grow cold. That's that whole walking away from faith thing. Your love can't grow cold if you didn't love to begin with. Don't get confused either about that word or that idea of love there. In essence, this text is saying that our desire, our longing, our want of what is right in God's eyes is what fades away, is what gets thrown by the wayside, is what gets compromised. And we just start, you know, we take the black and white issues and we start mixing them a little bit. Oh, that gray, that's okay. Oh, that gray, that's okay. Oh, that gray, that's okay. That's what we start doing, little by little by little. Our desire to be who God has called us to be fades away. And what matters more than anything else to us is not the things that matter to God. Instead, we look to society. We look to the people around us. We look to be, dare I say, all-inclusive of everybody, no matter what. Now, don't misunderstand me. We are to love everybody no matter what. But we are still to draw a line in the sand and say, God said this is right and that is not. I love you, but I don't agree with you. We can do that. That is possible. We instead look to people. We look, even in our own lives, to be accepted in this culture. We look to allow the morally declining ways of this condemned world to come into us, to come into our body, to come into our lives, and to give in to them, to encourage them. If we're moving away from what God desires and what God calls acceptable, then we're at risk of being more and more and more like that church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation. You remember that one? Revelation 3:16 says, "So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." The church is becoming lukewarm more and more every day. We are not the on-fire, hot, born-again Christian family that we used to be. Praise the Lord for verse 13 in Matthew. Because it says if we press through all of this, if we can get past this stuff, if we can overcome these issues, if we can stand firm, firm in our faith, firm in our walk with God, firm in the truth of Scripture, not relative truth, not personal truth, not whatever truth I have conjured up. If we can stand firm in the truth of Scripture, and we can stand to the end, we will be saved. Those that can stand through all of that are the ones who get to see the King in all of His glory. Actually, now that I said that, that's not true. Others will see Him. They just won't get to stay with Him. They'll be cast out of His presence. How much hurtful is that? We're going to do something new starting today here at Sanctuary. From now on, every Sunday, every week here at Sanctuary, you will find out on that round table in the foyer a scripture to memorize. See, we together as a church here at Sanctuary are going to learn the Word of God. We're going to learn what Scripture says. We're going to hear about Scripture. And we're going to do something that we're terrible at doing. We're going to memorize Scripture. Now, you are going to have to take the next step. You are going to have to find someone or a group of someones to hold you accountable. Because just to say, I'm taking the paper and I'm going to memorize it isn't good enough. I want you to prove that you're memorizing Scripture. Not to me, but to each other. That you're doing what God wants you to do, and that's living out His Word. Understanding His Word, knowing His Word. So you have to find someone to be accountable to. Someone that will say, what was this week's text? How does it go? What's the reference to that text? I don't just want to hear Jesus wept. I want to know where it came from. What is that? You tell me that text, and don't you dare tell me you can't do it. We memorize music, we memorize movie lines, we memorize our grocery lists, we memorize just about anything that we want to memorize. So don't tell me you can't memorize Scripture. I will call you a liar to your face. You can memorize Scripture. If you want to, if you work at it, if you put your faith in God, He will help you to memorize the Word that He has written for you. You can memorize Scripture. We are going to start to learn the Word of God, one verse at a time, if that's what it takes, and live it out in our lives. That, folks, is how we will be able to stand firm to the end. When we start to turn out or tune out the world, tune out this society that is dragging us down, when we stop believing their lies, when we cancel out the demonic culture that this society wants to push on us, that's how we will stand firm to the end, with our own version of cancel culture, if you will. We are going to commit to knowing the living Word of God. There's a sheet of paper out there on that table right now for you to grab and start working on this week. Lord, help us. God, help us. Oh, Lord, help us to push this society, this world, this culture we live in aside, and to stand firm in you. God, help us to get our strength, our focus, our very meaning from you and you alone, Lord. God, help us to become the light and salt you have designed us to be. Lord, help us to be an instrument that you use in taking this nation back for you, to being the Christians, the born-again, spirit-filled believers that we are supposed to be. God, I pray that it's your word that shapes and forms us and not the world that we live in. God, help us every day to become more and more like the children that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Enter the Holy of Holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you for your name.